I'll call this meeting of the Planning Commission into order. It's August 9th. And I remembered that Tabor asked that maybe we start these meetings with a Pledge of Allegiance. So let's do that.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. We'll start with the minutes. I move to approve the minutes from our July meeting.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approved. All right. The next item is the reviewing the second draft of the ADU ordinance. I have a copy here if anyone out there wants to read it. It's not printed really well. I also finally today got comments from Meg Ryan, and I forward those on. I didn't have a ton of time to look at them, but I did look at them, so I can review those too. I'll go ahead and start unless anyone else wants to start. So I'm feeling pretty good about this ordinance. There are a couple things that I want to talk about, but in general I'm feeling good with the changes that were made from last time. I'll go through Meg's comments first. I had asked her to review it specifically with respect to whether or not a CUP process, a conditional use process, whether that was a good idea or would benefit us at all. And since then, and to refresh everyone's memory, my question was, so the way this is written is anyone can create an ADU if they meet the requirements, which is having a primary or secondary residence and the requirements for the zoning. If they want to rent it out as a long-term rental, it doesn't allow short-term rentals, but if they want to rent it out as a long-term rental, they need a conditional use permit. And my question was, why bother? We're just going to issue those anyway. It just seems like an additional burden and maybe confusion from the public in terms of what it means. Since then, I attended part of the Portland, Oregon ADU. They had a... I was able to sit in on part of it. I think I can get a recording of it. But one of the things that they presented was a lot of the statistics about ADUs. And to your point, Josie, about reporting, I think it'd be useful. And it's probably a better way to do it than... It won't be perfect, but it'll be better than just a survey or something. So I've kind of softened on my question there. But I'll read what Meg said about the conditional use process. She said, if you have to go to a conditional use for assurance, I ask, one, do you have a really clear process? Two, is the fee fair? Which I think is a good question. Three, are the criteria there that you need to review this specific use? Meaning, are we clear, my interpretation is, are we clear with the criteria that requires a conditional use? And she said, if it's not, just put it in this ordinance and make it permitted. You can have different standards for each zone. We do have JIP or standard street zone. My read of her recommendation is just, you know, make it permitted. And she forwarded me the Salt Lake ordinance. The Salt Lake ordinance for ADUs does not have a conditional use permit process. They just made it a permitted use. But I still like the idea of having the documentation so we can look at the statistics. So, and I'm in general in favor of having a more restrictive ordinance first that we can then open up if we want to. And that meet, and so having a conditional use seems to make sense to me. Now, anyway, she also gave some comments on the ordinance itself. So I'll read her comments. So one was about conditional use. She said, if you really want to encourage these, make them permitted. And that brought up the question, like, what is the intent here? And we have the intent. And I don't necessarily think we're encouraging people to build these. I think we want to allow people to build these. Recognize that some people already built them. But I don't think we want to see an explosion of ADUs. So I think a conditional use is, again, warranted. She asked, do we have an enforcement mechanism in place? And I feel like we do. It may not be mature, but we have something. And then she said she includes all these ideas. So on the ordinance itself, I'll just go through my comments and hers. I like the new whereas clauses, specifically the third. I do still have a question. We did talk about this last time about primary versus secondary owners.
Me too.
And what is a primary owner? What is, or primary secondary residences? What is a primary residence? What is a secondary residence? I am, part of me is inclined to just take out the secondary residence out of there and open this up to primary residence. Because we have a very specific way of determining whether a dwelling is someone's primary residence by their tax filings. I feel like a secondary residence could be almost anything. I'm not totally against having it there, but I want us to understand what a secondary residence is. And my intent here in the ordinance is to make it clear for the next planning commission, who's not us, to look at this and be able to make clear decisions without being bulldozed by someone who has a good argument for why their residence is a secondary residence and why it fits. Anyway, so she asked why we're not allowing ADUs in the commercial zone. She says many main streets have apartments above commercial, or do you already allow that? One example I thought of is Hills and Hollins, where they have a residence kind of above. I don't think
it's all separate.
Yeah, and I think it's fine. I'm happier not allowing ADUs in the commercial zone.
Yeah, me too.
She asked why we're requiring a conditional use permit each year. So in section C, we say a conditional use permit is issued under this section is valid for one calendar year. She said, why are you going to require a re-up each year at additional cost? You can revoke the permit if they don't follow the rules. I think that's a valid concern. I don't think we gain anything necessarily by having them reapply, and it's just a cost that I don't think we need to impose on anyone. In section C as well, it talks about primary and secondary residence and occupancy. And I'll just read these so everyone knows what we're talking about. One, the lot must be a primary or secondary residence of the lot owner. Two, the lot owner must occupy either the PDU or the ADU, primary accessory dwelling unit, as such. Three, rental purposes include any occupancy where the owner is compensated by the occupant. Four, any applicant shall be limited to one conditional use permit for an ADU under the terms of this ordinance. Five, proof of ownership and occupancy shall be part of the CUP application. So, I still have questions about how we define primary and secondary and what proof of ownership and occupancy entails. I still have a question about what occupy means. Whether, you know, do I have to live there? Do I have to live there for a certain part of the year? Can I just store stuff there? Am I occupying the property at that point? So those are some questions I have. The fourth thing here, any applicant shall be limited to one conditional use permit for an ADU under the terms of this ordinance, I think is a very good one because it limits owners from having lots of properties that they call their primary and secondary properties and opening up a lot of ADUs for rental purposes. What this says is anyone in town, what my interpretation of this is, anyone in town owning land can only apply for one conditional use permit for an ADU, which means they can only have one rental ADU. which I think is another good reason to have a conditional use permit. Anyway, I want to talk about that stuff separately. The other comment, she asked why we require a separate entrance from the main residence. I actually like that. She had a question about the two additional parking spaces. I actually like that. I think maybe something that was in the Salt Lake ordinance was you can apply for a waiver for those two parking spots. I'd rather require two additional spaces and request and allow a waiver if we do anything. And she asked, who is monitoring ADU's use as of a, I'll say the second, it's number nine. D9 says, the ADU may not be used as a vacation home rental or any form of transient lodging, and the minimum rental term is 30 days, unless said use is authorized by subsequent ordinance. And she says, who's monitoring this? And I guess our enforcement officer is monitoring it. So those are my comments. The only one that I really want to kind of talk about and hear everyone's opinion on is the primary, secondary, and occupancy questions.
Okay. I like the draft as it is. I'm sure, I think it's, like, I agree with you. I think it's important to have the conditional use permit. It's something we can always drop later. But in order to collect data and sort of start it forward, then I think that's the right move. As far as, I also agree with you on before occupancy, that it's the, what was the, it's the primary and not the secondary ownership that can do the ADU. And I think that, to me, in order to, I'm always thinking, okay, how do we keep the character of Boulder intact, okay, in what it is? As soon as you sort of let people off the hook as it's their primary residence, they actually live here and so on, I think you invite in greed and marketing and people who just want to make money and don't really care so much about, or who aren't even residents of this town. So for me, a primary occupant is someone who, they may live here half a year, but then they can only do the ADU for half a year. I don't know. No, that's probably not right. But, you know, I'm trying to feel it out. Right?
So one thing that Curtis told me is you get a big tax break in Garfield County if you list your home here in Boulder as your primary residence. That's a very easy way. So, like, it's a very easy way for us to define primary residence, because you can only do that in one place.
Okay.
And so someone who has a much more expensive place in Park City, it's much more beneficial to them to list that as their primary residence.
Right.
So that's at least one very concrete way we can say whether you call Boulder your primary residence or not.
Okay, so I'm for that. I think that's it.
So primary, secondary, I'm neutral. I think to measure that, you know, the plat map will tell us ownership, so that's easy. But as far as secondary, I would think maybe thinking about a specific number of days of the year. I'm not really sure on that. And, you know, the commission may not go that way anyway, but I'm neutral on it. As far as the parking goes, I do like the flexibility that's in the Salt Lake ordinance. So I'm going that way. And then what was the other part? I think we're good with the monitoring, enforcement officer. But also, I mean, when we get to the discussion of vacation rentals, I think the concern's going to be in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So if your neighborhood's seeing turnover every night, then it will be, you know, too alert. It'll be brought to our attention.
Right.
So I'm not too concerned about that.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about primary and secondary. I'm a little conflicted as far as, you know, the definitions. And I know that there, and exactly how we put that in there. I think that we should start with primary. I like that, you know, for the reasons that you gave as far as the secondary. So even if we started with that, like you said, we can always change it and add them later. I'd like to see a little bit of time to see exactly what happens here in 2 years, 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, with the ADUs, so that, you know, we have information, like you said, from the CUPs, and then start with something and then move on to the next if we want to.
Yep. One thing to consider, we have some residents in town, like Scott Bibler, I think, mm-hmm. is an example of, it's not his first home, mm-hmm. it's not their first home, but they have an ADU.
Yeah.
So they would be in compliance with this ordinance. My view is that, like, they're not in compliance now, so I don't think we're causing a problem.
Yeah.
It's something we need to consider, I think.
Are they renting?
As far as I know, they're not.
That reminds me of the other point on the secondary. Someone in our community mentioned that secondary owners would have a caretaker staying in an ADU, and I think that's a pretty valid point.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, you know, in our community where we have larger lots and agriculture and such like that. So I think that'd be one good argument to allow secondary.
Yeah, I think I'm not against allowing secondary as long as we have a very clear definition of what secondary is, which I don't think we really have any definition of what secondary is, other than it's up to the interpretation of the Planning Commission and our lawyer.
Okay, so it seems like we didn't define secondary.
Right. So I think our options here are to essentially, I mean, and this is open to discussion, we can modify this to take out secondary and then send this to the, we can vote to say if we're good with this as is, we take out secondary residences, send it to the town council. We can send it to the town council as is and say, you know, one of our reservations or one of the things that we're concerned about is secondary residences and the lack of definition there. I think those are probably our best two options.
Well, we were also talking about having another open meeting. Right?
Yeah, we
so
can do that.
I'd like to hear one more input, basically, to see what people in town think, if we do get any input from them.
Yeah, so,
no.
Yeah. So if we do that, I would say let's take out secondary here, open it up to a public hearing, make sure we highlight that as something that we want to hear from the public about.
Yeah.
And other than that, I think it's good.
Great.
Okay,
so shall we vote on that course of action? And I'll just reiterate. Oh, and do you want to add the parking waiver? That someone could have fewer than two parking spaces if they apply for a waiver?
Sure, let's do an option.
Yeah, as long as it can be considered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we will amend the current draft ordinance to remove owners, secondary residence owners, and we will amend the parking language to allow people to apply for a waiver if they want fewer than two lots. And we'll have a public hearing in the next meeting.
I second that motion.
Okay. All in favor? Aye. Motion passes. Cool. Next on the agenda is short-term rentals. Short-term rentals. Who wants to?
I'll be about 5 minutes. We can deal with that.
Yeah. who wants to start that discussion?
How are we going to define it?
Well, I think if I remember back to how we started this discussion, let's review what the town said in those meetings as a starting point. Recognizing that the commission doesn't speak for the entire town, but it's just a starting point.
Yeah, that's what I
sure.
Yeah.
So we are talking about short-term rentals of residential property, whether that's a primary or secondary residence. And basically we're talking about Airbnbs, the vacation rentals.
Okay.
So if we start with, you know, what the purpose of the discussion is, like, if we look at the if you look at the ADU ordinance, a couple of things that we said is it's beneficial to diversify the rental options. Owners have expressed a desire to generate rental income. I think those are two good starting points. I think probably residents here, some residents, would find it beneficial to generate rental income from short-term units, short-term rentals. So I think we need to decide whether that fits the character of the town, whether or not we want to do that. And I think we need to figure out whether that's something we want to encourage or allow. And I think we should consider the short-term rental options that currently exist and the impact on those, and whether or not the diversity of short-term rental options is something we want to encourage and or allow, and where we want to do that. Does that sound like a good starting point?
Yeah.
All right, so.
I mean, we have to allow them.
We don't have to, but.
Yeah, that's a good question. If we try to prohibit them,
right,
then we potentially become a target for something like Airbnb.
Yeah.
But if we're not zoned to them, then they're out of compliance.
What did you say?
If they're not, if we don't have an ordinance or a zoning,
right,
then they're not in compliance.
Just like the VA.
Right.
Unless we specifically prohibit them, there may not be a compliance question. Because in the case of ADUs, we have an ordinance that says you can only have one dwelling unit.
Right.
I don't know that we have an ordinance that says you cannot rent your property for a short term.
Exactly.
Right.
So here, I have a bunch of thoughts here. So for
short-term
rentals is all I'm talking about now, without integrating them into long-term rentals or any of that. Again, the primary issue is how to keep the character of Boulder with something like this. We can not make them legal. We can't make them legal. The fact is people are doing them right now.
Right.
I am leaning towards ADUs, but with conditions, or with short-term rentals, but with a lot of conditions. And so some of the basic things I've heard around town, and these are, I'm just feeling my way through here, is that it's tricky territory because there's some fear that with short-term rentals, it'll reduce the opportunity for housing issues in town for long-term rentals. Okay, that's some of what I've heard around town. So there's that situation. I don't know whether it's true or not, but I have some ideas on conditions to deal with that. So it seems to me that to do short-term rentals, we're trying to make something work for us as residents in town, and we're trying to protect against outside people who might come in again just for greed, just trying to make money, that don't really care about the town. So how do we craft an ordinance that benefits us as residents and keeps the character of the town? That's the question I've been holding. Some of the ideas I have for perhaps dealing with that is that if we do short-term rentals, the owner has to be on site, one. You might have something, most Airbnb have basic house rules. Maybe we come up with some basic town rules that deal with making it known that there are noise ordinances past certain times. People have livestock and chickens, so animals, something to look at that. Barbecues and fires, you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
You make it restrictive so that someone who wants to do it has to think very clearly through these issues, and the neighbors don't get the bad end of the deal. The other thing is, of course, I think a conditional use permit needs to be required, and I think it should be required on a yearly basis so neighbors can weigh in on the process, and we see how it's going. It allows a little more input and control of the situation. You can also do things like, instead of having every night, like a motel, which I also don't want to pull business away from some of the motels and hotels that exist here. So you have a minimum stay, 2-3 nights a week, I don't know. What is a short-term rental? How many days is that actually? But you don't do it one night. The other is perhaps you have a limited amount of Airbnbs that the town can have. Maybe you set it apart geographically. We only allow so many in this town.
I think that's what Tori just did.
Yeah, and then that way it limits the amount of traffic and sort of population and allows for the long-term rentals to be available for other people and really puts the person who wants to do an Airbnb in the situation of having to sort of meet the standards for doing it properly. And that's to start with. That's what I've got going. So.
Well, that's great. You came up with some really good ideas because I'm kind of stuck on the problems with them. One, the character. You know, the character of Boulder has changed a lot in just the last few years where tourism has really impacted our community. And right now, it's mostly along Highway 12. We start doing vacation rentals in our neighborhoods. We're now taking that traffic, that culture, into private neighborhoods, which, to me, that's undesirable. I've mentioned in previous meetings the concern with safety when you're doing a lot of turnover. You know, I had these Airbnbs next to me in Escalante, and I didn't feel real safe with a lot of vehicles coming in, you know, kids playing outside, traffic on the streets, your pets, you know, and so on. And the loss of long-term rentals, I think, is a definite possibility. I mean, since we don't have them really in the first place, you know, giving up these rooms, I think, is pretty critical for our workforce here, and as well as supporting our motel businesses. So, but I like your ideas. I think, you know, we can put up the fight, but there's only, you know, things are definitely moving that way, and other communities have dealt with that, and I don't know if we can completely limit the vacation rentals. So I think the yearly permit, another part is if we limit the number of them, how does that work in the community? How is that fair? Is it first come, first serve, and then they have this long-term lock on rental, or do we have a waiting list yearly, maybe?
I think that's what I've read a couple of things on different communities, and I think that's what you do have to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
kind of rotate them through, and then it becomes a long-term rental. I don't know. Those are things we could discuss.
Yeah. As far as we'll have to check out and see what, because I can't remember what it said in Tori. They were limiting them, and they were limiting someplace else in southern the community as far as having a list. I think the thing that I've seen recently too is it impacts your community, and I saw a program recently on 911 type document. You know, our communities are not really, and it's, you know, you don't want to say documented, but to know where the fire truck goes down, you know, and how many, you know, like, are they expecting a family or what? I mean, just different things as far as the, as how it it changes our community, you know, as far as how our resources are being used too. So we do want to know exactly what's going on, you know.
And I guess one more idea, if we do really want to limit them, maybe we do keep it to town center, which would reduce the numbers by far, but it also will keep that type of traffic closer to Highway 12.
Yeah. And I don't know how much of this is really legal that we're going to be able to,
Yeah, and it's already beyond town center. Yeah.
Sure, yeah, but because we have nothing in writing.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think I'd like us to think about is, you know, we think about those whereas clauses. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how we start with the ADU. I'd like to think not just whereas what we want to do, I'd like to think whereas what we would like to prevent from happening. So, like, whereas we do not want to encourage a situation where we have more short-term rentals than long-term rentals, and whereas we don't want to take business away from our current, you know, short-term rental businesses. And when we talk about the character builder, I think maybe one of the ways to do this is to think about what a short-term rental, what a short-term residential rental looks like in the character builder. Because we know what it looks like against the character builder. We know what we don't want it to look like. So what is a boulder style short-term residential rental look like?
Travel trailers, to be honest.
Well, I mean, I think of like people who want to, like, kind of like a bed and breakfast, people want to stay on an agricultural place, maybe have eggs that were, you know, laid that morning. Like, I'm not, obviously not going to require any of this, but when I think about what a when I think about why someone might want to stay for, you know, three nights in Boulder, that's what I think about.
I think it's because they don't want to pay $200 a night.
Well, that too, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a beautiful idea. Yeah, well, you get farm fresh produce and eggs, and like, yeah, that's great. But
well, next, I mean, money. Down in Lower Boulder, there's, you know, some of, like, there's a bed and breakfast Airbnb that does, you know, breakfast and fresh eggs, and like, yeah, it's a room, and that, and maybe that's because I'm close to it. Maybe that's what I think about. But I think it's a valuable exercise for all of us to do.
Do you notice the traffic?
I notice sometimes folks walking down the road, and I wave to them. And I'm like, oh, actually, I don't know you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what. Yeah.
But I don't notice a lot of traffic. I mean, sometimes I notice cars that I don't recognize in the lot.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the parking in the driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 33, 35 of these in this army now.
So again, you're not only might you restrict number, but you might do it geographically. There's Lower Boulder, there's Town Center. Yeah. If you don't put it in Town Center, there's North Boulder, there's,
Well, the nice thing about our town, too, is it's not like Escalante, because we don't have necessarily neighborhoods with streets that, like, there's hardly anybody that lives really next to each other.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's one benefit of our community. Like, how do we use that to our advantage?
Yeah.
Because we're, you know, we do have space in between. How do we use that? And so can we say so many, there's so many in this section, so many in this section? I don't know if we can do that either.
Yeah. So some of the ideas that I had, I think we should impose the same tax that we impose on our commercial, on our motels and hotels. That if you're renting short term, you need to pay it, the hotel tax. The same way that the businesses in town pay that tax.
Yeah.
And that's less for town income, but just to keep an even playing field.
I still think that's so weird because that's commercial. It's like commercial to me.
Right. Yeah.
So just, and it does, it's, don't get it.
Yeah.
How you can, how we can't fight something like that because.
Yeah.
You know, or well, how you can do something. Yeah.
To your point, like, we can talk about what we want and then. Mm-hmm. Can find out what we can actually do.
Yeah.
I think we need to consider the fact that in some cases people will rent out a room, and in some cases people will rent out a dwelling. And we need to consider both those things. Certainly renting out a room in your house as like a bed and breakfast, I don't think really impacts the long-term rental question. In order to, I do think, you know, we definitely don't want Boulder to be a place where it's attractive to just set up an ADU and rent it out short term and that become more expensive than people who work here and can't live here. So limiting to a number of days or a number of days per year or something like that, I think would be potentially useful. I mean, the problem with that is, well, no, it's potentially useful. I was going to say the problem with that is the time where it's most attractive to rent short-term is probably the time that we need the long-term rentals. But if we make it, if we construct the ordinance such that it's less hassle and at least the same amount of income to rent long-term as it is short-term, then I think we've done our job.
Yeah.
And maybe we can, if we do separate into neighborhoods and say, like, this is Lower Boulder, maybe we get, and if we're limiting the number of short-term rentals, maybe we can say, for the number of short-term rental units, you can only rent for, like, if there are 10 short-term rental units in Lower Boulder, maybe we say, each person can only rent for X percent of the year, so that it's not necessarily first come, first serve.
Oh, yeah.
So that, like, if for 10 units you can rent for 20% of the year, at 15 units maybe that goes down to 15% of the year.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So we don't deal with first come, first serve. And the more, and basically the more units you have, the less you can rent. So it becomes less attractive at some point to do short-term rentals.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And then maybe consider whether or not, like I mentioned last time we talked about this, that in, there are neighborhoods in Austin where you could do a short-term rental, but you could only rent out your primary dwelling unit. So that would discourage people from just doing a lot of transient rentals. And I think what happens there is people in that neighborhood will have essentially a smaller ADU that they'll move into.
Correct.
They can rent out their larger unit. And that might be interesting.
Well, and I feel like since we've got I feel like we kind of have a handle on the ADU that we need to take a couple of minutes and pull information together because it's a lot.
Yeah.
Just what we've even talked about right now.
Yeah. And I do like the idea that the owner needs to be on site, owner or maybe caretaker. So that basically what that does is if you only have one dwelling unit, then you're renting out a room. If you have two dwelling units, you're staying in either the ADU or the PDU, and you're renting out the other.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a good start to try to draft something. And maybe we can consolidate this a little bit.
I'd like to hear what the public has to say. Just digest some more too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
once we have a public meeting on this, then we could give it to Curtis or Giff or whoever created this and
I think it might be useful to have something a little more concrete. Whether it's just a bunch of whereas clauses.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe starting with that.
Yeah.
After we have all of the comments.
Yeah.
So we
I think it'd be good to have the whereas clauses and then let the public comment on it. Because I think it's too kind of disorganized to get useful comment.
Are you volunteering to do that?
Yeah. What?
Okay, so are you volunteering to do that?
I can, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that.
And then we'll give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we did with the first one, so it's worked out really good.
Yeah. And I'll be in the field in September, so I won't be at the next meeting.
Okay.
But that's fine.
Question?
Yeah.
Did you just say you were going to draft the whereas clauses?
I did.
Only? How about the rest of the little pieces you just discussed?
I'll try to incorporate those into the whereas clauses. Okay. So the idea is to take all the things that we've talked about, express them as whereas clauses, and then we can look at them individually and say, well, yeah, that makes sense, that doesn't make sense, that fits Boulder, that doesn't fit Boulder.
And you want a public hearing on that as well next time?
I don't think we'll be ready next time for that. I think we can have a draft. I'll try to get a draft together for next meeting, and then you guys can talk about it. Because
Curtis will be here too in September, right?
Yeah, it'd be nice to have Curtis.
That'd be good.
I won't be here in September either. Okay. I won't be in San Diego.
So will we have a quorum in September? Will you two be here?
I'll be here.
Okay.
Possibly.
So as long as Tober's here.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else you guys want to talk about with regard to short-term rentals? Oh, I do think it'd be good to look at the Tory ordinance, too.
Yeah, I'll give it that one again.
Yeah.
This one's from Hurricane.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, that'd be good.
Just give it to you.
that's it. Do we want to...
We need to talk about the workshop September
1st. Oh, right, right. Oh, I skipped that one. Okay, so let's talk about the workshop with Lee. Do we want to pick a date?
Yeah, let's start with a date. I'm gone for 2 weeks out of September, so I'm only available the weekend of the 8th or the 29th.
I am gone for essentially all of September.
Okay. Yeah, September's really busy for me.
I prefer the 29th, if pushing at that later date is helpful for anyone.
It's a full day?
Yeah.
6 hours.
6 hours, yeah. We'll miss a lot of people because that's the Arts Festival weekend.
Oh boy.
A lot of people. Meet.
Is he available in October? Do we know?
1st of October? First weekend of October is the writer's conference.
We could ask.
Yeah, seems like there is a lot going on in September.
He doesn't strike me as being busy.
Yeah, okay.
So actually, October 13th is good for me. The next week I'm gone.
That's the Boulder Skills Arts Fest.
Okay. What about the 1st of October?
I can be back by the 6th.
Oh, gosh. Well, we just need
one. We're talking about, it doesn't have to be a Saturday, does it, or does it?
No, it doesn't. It's only 6 hours, just one day someplace in between there.
In fact, one of the council members suggested like 2 o'clock to 8 o'clock. So
okay.
Pick up maybe some people that couldn't come in the morning. So that was just a suggestion that you made.
On a weekday?
Yeah, it could be on a weekday. They were just saying instead of the 9 and the thing,
whatever,
to do it maybe later, you accommodate a few more people that have to get things done early. But that's just something to think about.
That's fine by me.
Okay.
Well, maybe we could shoot our days off, or the days that you're going to be gone, the days that you're going to be gone to peg, and we can maybe narrow it down. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Because I've only got a couple of days that I'll be here all of September.
You know, do you guys do... like doodle
cat. I can create a doodle poll.
Yeah, do that.
Okay.
Yeah, and that'll make it easier to winnow down. And I would suggest September and October.
I'll do both. Yeah, because it sounds like we're pretty limited, so yeah. Okay.
So we could do
I'll put a doodle poll out.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right, great.
Okay.
Good deal.
Good.
So is that all we need to talk to? It's just the date? I mean, we're going to follow through with this, right? I mean, it's a done deal.
I think it's approved.
You have a choice. Well, you could say, just say, no, we don't want to do it.
No, I appreciate somebody coming and helping us do this stuff, you know, and I think it's a great idea, and I think it's, I really would like to do that. Because I feel like it gets us someplace to start again.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, with all that information that we got, like, what are we going to do with it?
Yeah.
And I feel like somebody knows what to do with all of our information.
Yeah, and like anything else, we'll take input. It doesn't mean we have to
right.
follow through with its suggestions. But.
And I like the fact that it's a variety of people in the town again.
Right, so to expand on that, we were going to talk about the general plan working committee. And so just to expand on that workshop, a lot of good work came out of our working groups, but I think what we need to do is create smart objectives from what came out of there, because they need to be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-oriented. And we're not there yet. And so my hope is that that's what we'll get out of this workshop. Is to get the community in the room. Working groups may not have been agreed with other working groups. Get everybody together and come up with these objectives that then we can take back and look at the general plan and see what is the need to change based on those objectives of what the community wants.
Yeah.
And so what I just passed out was a proposed schedule for the general plan update. And so September would be hosting the workshop. And this was just a skeleton. I was actually just a large skeleton. So. And I think from that workshop, if we've got a list of people that are interested in being on the committee, I would like 3 to 5 people, because that's a manageable amount.
Yeah.
And if it's 3, we could have 2 planning commissioners and 1 community member. If we go with 5, which is what I prefer, 3 planning commissioners, 2 community members. And then that takes care of September, if we can book this in September. If not, we'll move into October. But once that workshop's done, then we go back, we look at our general plan, we look at the working group reports again, the Boulder Community Assessment has some great information in there, and then come up with what's the need for change in our plan. And from that, the next month we'll start working on, come back to the Planning Commission and tell them what we've determined the need for change is, and then move forward with drafting the plan revision. And I put 3 months to do that, basically. It may not take that long, but 2 months of draft, then finalize it, and then at that point we'd come back to the commission, make sure everybody's good to go, and then take it to the town council. And between then, determine what do we need to make any changes and what our next steps are. So that's about a 6 to 7 month timeline, which I think is reasonable for a plan revision.
Well, we're actually
and it keeps us on schedule. So, yeah.
Everybody's around a little bit more. We got so much more done in the wintertime.
Right. You know. And I'd like to have it done by March or April because water comes on and it's a little busy.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree. 5 people would be great and no more than 5.
Great.
Thanks, Julie.
Yeah. This looks great. Yeah. So I say maybe at each of our Planning Commission meetings we can just check in on where we are with this plan.
Yep.
Okay.
That's good.
Great. So let's talk about business for September. Just to review, we're going to review the final, what we hope to be the final draft of the ADU ordinance. I'll put together whereas clauses for the short-term rental ordinance. We will hopefully have a date for the Lee Nellis workshop. We will review where we are with the general plan revision schedule. So,
we're also going to have a public hearing.
And we will have a public hearing on the ADU ordinance.
Yeah.
And probably a conditional use permit.
Okay.
Awesome.
Great. And just so I'm clear on the general plan revision, are you hoping to select the members by September or?
I think we will put out a call for interest at the workshop.
Okay.
And then I would like the Planning Commission as a commission to select who the members are.
Sure.
Okay.
Do you want to do that at the workshop? Because if we don't have the workshop till October, then
My thoughts were we would find those who are most interested at that workshop because we'll be working on the objectives.
Okay.
I'm not opposed to doing it earlier. I just don't know if that's going to be the most efficient way. But
yeah, I think you're right. I think we'll have I think the workshop is the right place to do it.
Yeah.
If that puts us behind a little bit, I think that we'll be in a better spot anyway.
I think so too. Yeah.
Okay. All right, great.
I have one question on the data poll. I'll send that out to everybody just on our typical emails, which includes a couple of council members. Is there anyone else they need to?
I think, you guys are the ones that need to, right?
I mean,
for the town council as well, or?
For the workshop.
Do you want to include them, or just try to get the planning commission all together for them?
I would let you guys. I mean, I feel like I could be your
okay. Sounds good.
Personally.
All right. Anything else before we open up to public comments? All right. There's our podium.
Is anybody going to have anything to say?
Anyone have anything to say?
No.
I don't believe
it. You guys are just so efficient.
Well, let's see. We'd like to hear not only your fears, but your ideas.
Can you, sure, do you want to pull up the podium?
Oh, it's ended.
We need to get close for the recording.
That's important.
And as a reminder, just say who you are.
Okay, Peter Benson. First thing on the, especially the short-term rental, there's no big hurry. That's an important, we should get a big hurry. And I think that's really, don't get, and also an AE. There's not, if something comes up next month and seems like it's not quite ready, I think it's fine.
And I feel the same way. I feel like after we have this public meeting and if we hear anything else about it, then we'll take our time and go. Like, I don't really feel, I don't feel like I'm in a big rush, but I know that we need to get one done.
And the other thing about short-term rentals, I think you can just completely prohibit them. You know, I don't think there's any legal thing that says you can't just say no.
I think we definitely will research that.
Yeah, so that's a possibility.
And what I'd like to find out about that too is if we do that, exactly how we enforce that. Like, is there how, if we're going to go with that plan, then how do we enforce that and get ready to do that? You know?
Right.
So there's got to be a way.
Well, enforcement is always the, you know, the catch 22, the catch in all these things, because how are you going to enforce on anything in town? Because nobody wants to enforce anything.
Well, is there enough people in town that don't want it, opposed to enough people that will come to a meeting and tell us, you know, which direction that we should go? You know?
I think people will show up.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. I want to see it. You know, it would help us if we could see that. You know.
I'm gonna sit down now.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Don.
You should go come to the podium and just express what you say your name. We have to.
That's what happens when you leave town.
Yeah. Ex-Golden resident.
Don.
Maybe looking at a secondary residence, possibly. Yeah. The community that I live in, Castle Valley, outside of Moab, has a no short-term rental ordinance.
Good. We'll look into that. Thank you.
I'll just say one of the reasons why I was unsure about that is because I didn't want to make Boulder a target for a lawsuit. But if there are other towns in Utah that already have that, then...
Yeah, we have a no short-term rental ordinance. We also have a no secondary residence ordinance as well.
Right.
This is a short term, it doesn't exclude commercial motel. We have no commercial motel.
Commercial whatsoever.
No, we have a zoned commercial area. So, for example, we have a bed and breakfast that's within that zoned commercial area. The only caveat is people have bought up those zoned commercial areas and don't do commercial development. So basically buy up in that lot in the commercial area and take it off the market for a rental.
Right.
But we have no short-term rentals and we have no secondary dwelling allowed. So people are allowed to have a secondary building, but it's not considered a residence. In order to be a residence, it has to have a kitchen,
secondary
agriculture?
Yeah, I just want to, just to move stuff along.
There are no ADUs.
The question of whether or not the town wants ADUs, I think we are all decided that we want ADUs because...
Right. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, you're within your legal authority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or other communities.
Right. Well, the current...
They don't have that. It's in their ordinances, so you legally...
Right.
Our current ordinance already prohibits secondary dwelling units. So what we're deciding about is how to allow them. But it's a good point, and it's good information.
Castle Valley has a very good example because Moab, with their vacation rentals, is a real pitch.
Yeah. Thank you, Don.
Yeah, really. Thank you.
Steve?
I'll just say, mine's more informational than anything.
Love it.
Steve Cox. So the county is already in the process of identifying short-term rentals so they can collect transient room tax. We do have some in town already, and they've been identified. And so they are having to pay the tax as anybody else would on a transient room tax. I think Wayne County has an ordinance already. I think Garfield County is working on an ordinance. So you may want to see how you mesh, especially with Garfield County's because they're collecting a tax, and I think they've identified all of those they can that exist either in the county around us or in town. So we may have to check. Mm-hmm. That may give you an idea of what we're, what we already have.
Yeah. So, thank you, Steve. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It's Jane Coombs. I am the housekeeper, caretaker of a short-term rental. We have rules and regulations for noise, for staying on the property, and have them stay off of other people's property, stay off of other private rooms. We have a limit of a minimum stay of 3 nights. This is my income to supplement my Social Security, and I have a very tight, very small pension, so it's my livelihood. And we have no noise rules, no noise. We have a paper. Let's see, I'm employed there, and one other person does the artwork. So, and it provides employment for people here. The owners come and stay maybe 4 or 5 times a year. And they don't live here. So it is mostly, I think, they use it to pay the mortgage. Sometimes their families come and stay, and their friends come and stay, and they receive no rent for those. They're free. I think that there really is a need as far as the tourists are concerned, from what I can see. They love having the privacy of a house where you don't get that in a motel. And our unit, our house, allows pets, which is not very popular with most places, and there's a need. Nowadays, everybody has a dog, and they take their dogs with them when they go on vacation. We don't have problems with the neighbors. We have a lot of rules, and I would even suggest that the rules that we have might be a good pattern for any others that that would be allowed. My personal feeling is, and I think our people are quiet. I really do. We allow 7 people. That's how many we sleep in. We have a 2-bedroom house and 2 sofa sleepers. There's their kitchen, there's laundry, there's refrigerator. And they come here and stay for that length of time, and they visit all the national parks and do all the local hiking. They love it. They love the restaurants. They love the area. One of the most common comments that they make in the guest book is that they like the peace and quiet that they find here. As far as noise, I live right next door, and I'm not complaining, but I'm just stating the fact that next door to Lake's big guest house, there's noise, there's traffic, there's late at night noise. I don't complain, they're not too bad. A few years ago they were pretty bad. Poor Ashley, he'd get out of bed at night and go over there and tell him what for. They'd apologize and bring in cookies the next day and try not to do it again, but they're pretty good about not doing it so late at night anymore. But still, there's noise there, and there's traffic, and there's parties. So, it already exists, as far as I'm concerned. So, and we don't always know who they are. They do change people every year. I know they're working for Blake. So, we know that. So anyway, I just thought I'd give that information. I think it's, I think it just depends on how it's run.
Yeah. Do you find you have repeat guests?
Yes. most people say, we want to come back, whether they do or not, they always say it. They love it.
Yeah, and I think that one thing that we hadn't considered necessarily is that the increase in income for people in town who don't necessarily own the property that's being rented.
Yeah. Yeah, they, well, and a lot of the, they find it's a good place to stay with our children rather than being in a motel. Sure. And also when families are traveling together, you know, they can stay together in the same place. So those are the positive things about it. And I like my job.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary Jane. Any other comments?
I wasn't here for your discussion. I'm sorry. I worked for me. I can't get down here. So I'm not really sure what you've already decided. I know there was a short-term loan. I'm Don Owen, by the way. There was a short-term. It elapsed. Have you now put one in? Or are you just considering a moratorium? Or are you just considering the redoing or putting...
You're talking about the short-term rental? Mm-hmm. We have not talked about commercial short-term rentals.
Okay.
We were talking about residential short-term rentals. So things like Airbnbs. So we didn't
Which
talk...
should be considered commercial, because they are commercial.
Right, we're talking about short-term rentals within the residential zone. And specifically...
In a residential area.
In a residential area, yeah. And we agree, I mean, that's part of the discussion, like, you know, collecting tax on that, and
they're essentially,
yeah. But there was no discussion about that moratorium that you were mentioning. And actually, that's something maybe, let's add that to the agenda next month. Because I think there was a moratorium at some point put on...
It's over.
It's over, okay.
So, I read the rules.
Yep.
So my comment would be, I see the problem, because we need long-term rentals in resident areas, but I also see the benefit to people to have short-term rentals. I feel like it is property right. I feel like it could be... dependent on where the short-term rental is. Are you right next door to many people, or are you out with, you know, 200 acres around you, whatever. I also want to emphasize that for the income to Boulder, if they don't find one here, they're going to go to one just outside of our city. Money won't come in. They're going to go to Escalante. They come here, we will get them shopping in our stores and buying gasoline and buying, going to eat in our restaurants. And it creates income for someone to clean the rooms and take care of it, manage it. I just think that you know, to just like, yeah, we want to use, but we don't want this, we want, you know, it would be really good to take the time to think about, I believe you can have restrictions without saying just, yeah. So
yeah.
That's kind of where
thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Donna.
Any other comments? All right, I'll move to adjourn.
Second amendment.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Well, good meeting you guys. I think you're asking the right question.
Thank you, Mark.
Rough spots there, but I
mean, yeah. Thank you.
Pardon me?
It's over.